We'll be continuing our series in Colossians. We looked, as you've just heard it read, chapter 3, verses 15 to chapter 4, verses 1. And the church gave me the lead of redeemed community life, I think. Anyway, this passage before us today gives us an insight into what the church should look like under the headship of Christ. The passage starts wonderfully. Verse 15 tells us to allow the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts. Since as members of one body, we were called to peace and also to be thankful. Well, I do think that this is a deliberate choice on our behalf. I think that we should allow Christ to rule in our hearts and we should pray along those lines. I think of how many times I in particular allow discord, disharmony, anxiety rule my heart, especially when I can't find my keys in the morning, or my debit and credit cards, or someone cuts me up on the road. To allow the peace of Christ to rule is difficult for me in those occasions. Sometimes things come out of my mouth that I regret and wish I'd never said. But perhaps if I was to allow the peace of Christ to rule in my heart at all time, practically all of those things, all of those things could be nullified. All of those negative feelings. Thanks be to Jesus that he is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Verses 16 and 17 read, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So when we meet together, as we're meeting together today, obviously, we attend church mixed services, but not just church services, prayer meetings, growth groups, and other kind of things that we do. When we sing, don't forget that the words that we sing are important. And it's not just a nice tune, although I like a nice tune. It's really important that we think about what we're singing and the words that we sing and give praise and thanks to our Lord. And also when we pray, we read scripture together as we've just done so. And we can learn from the word of God together. We can be instructed by it or be convicted of sin. Sometimes the word of God does convict us of sin. When there's something wrong in our lives, these things can be a blockage to our walk of faith with Jesus. If you hear something like that from a sermon, then I gently encourage you to put it right. You can do that in a number of ways. Obviously, pray and ask God directly. But also, you can confess sins to a brother or sister, trusted brother or sister, one that you know that you can rely on. And it's up to that person to keep confidence then. And you can pray about it. And you'd be amazed at what happens, the forgiveness and love that comes in. I'm speaking through experience here. There was a thing that was blocking my life for many years of being a Christian. And I confessed it to a trusted friend, a Christian. And since then, I can say that progress was made. And you'll be amazed if you do that yourself. So, let's make it our business to encourage one another. If you're a Christian, you have a part to play in the body of Christ. We all do. We all have gifts to urge us all on to do the work of Christ in building the kingdom he graciously asked us to be part of. Here in Yule, or whether it's worldwide, whether it's the Alpha Course, as it was mentioned earlier on, think about your friends, families, and neighbours. Don't we want to share this gospel that means so much to us? Ask, obviously kindly, you can't force people to come, but just to ask and invite and be invitational in the right way, our friends, families and neighbours, especially that, obviously we're thinking of those who don't know him, and let them come and share and hear what we have. in knowing Jesus as our Lord. We can do all these things in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to him for every good blessing. Now, the next part of the passage is headed Instructions for Christian Households. I've got an NIV version at home. It says Rules for Christian Households. I've got to say that I struggle with both of those instructions and rules. In fairness, Paul didn't actually write that. He didn't put the headings. It's some other guy who put the headings and chapters and verse. And I guess it was done by someone else, but obviously it wasn't Paul. I'm a rebellious person. I always have been, and I've owned that up to God. And when it comes down to rules, well, I can say that years ago, I went on a two-week holiday run by this church in the early 70s. None of you guys were here, apart from Sheila, I think. So it was a place called the Isle of Cumbrae. It's an island to the west of Scotland, and it's absolutely beautiful. We had a wonderful time, but not least because our church leader at the time, he was a Scotsman, and he was known and respected by the islanders. So I guess in order to preserve his reputation, he set us many rules that we enjoyed breaking. We were young and rebellious teenagers, and we broke just about the whole lot. And needless to say, by the end we were coming home, his poor guy reputation was in tatters. So that's rules. What about instructions? Well, back, and I met the love of my life, Sadie. She had ordered a bookcase. She was from Northern Ireland, a real royalist, and she collected loads of royal books. And she happened to be at work when it arrived. So I decided, with disastrous consequences, to put it all together for her. Why does it come in bits anyway? We're not carpenters, that's why. But anyway, it did. It came in bits. By the time she got back, everything was put in the wrong place. And lots of bits that should have been put in the place were lying on the floor. She was not happy. And that's to say an understatement. I made a right mess of it and felt the wrath of my Sadie. So the thing was, I didn't read the instructions. I looked at it and thought, this would be a piece of cake. And I chucked the instructions to one side. So I've noticed that also I have a tendency to blame everyone else apart from myself when that goes wrong. And maybe a better heading for these headlines that we got here is, for twits like me, it should be, this is the framework for Christian life in the community, what it should look like. I'm going to read verses 18 to 21. I'm going to tackle that bit first. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents as it for in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. I have to say that in my life, I've struggled with all of these verses, especially the one with wives submitting to husbands. You see, I came from a Christian background, and my dad, bless him, saw this passage to exert his authority over my mother and over us. I mean it in the way that could have been described as abusive sometimes. I don't think he meant to be. I think he did that because he thought it was right. He did likewise to us as children. He always used to throw that in our face, obey me in everything. It says, because you've got to please the Lord. And he used to stand there, and if his commands were somewhat chaotic or even wrong, we would challenge him, and he would quote those verses in particular and said, you are not arguing with me. You are arguing with the very word of God, so therefore you're arguing with God. And he would hold his Bible up like that. This is what you are arguing with. And he was very angry when he did these things, often promoting, I would say, a climate of fear within the family. See, I didn't know the whole details of the text because, believe you me, I would have thrown the rest of it in his face. And it's particularly, he didn't remind us of the responsibility that he had in loving his wife, my mum, or to his kids, us. These things can and are used in various households, sometimes in the Christian church, as control. I know that it can be chaos when this is misused. My mum ended up divorcing him successfully on grounds of mental cruelty, and she left home. I followed suit soon after that, and once my mum got settled down to a place, my brothers went and lived with her. I went and lived in the hospital, which I worked in for many years. He was always a man who did, in fairness, suffer with bipolar. He had mental health problems, and this got worse after he left, or after we all left. And he ended up being treated at West Park Hospital. He had ECT treatment, amongst other things, which helped him to forget certain things, but it also helped him forget the good things too. I fully realised that my dad was only trying to bring us up the way that he saw these particular verses in the Bible, the way he saw it. I don't hold him that against him anymore. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have had a background of the Bible and the Christian faith. Where even though I walked away from it for many years, I still held that with me with my upbringing. So my dad was right, I think, in teaching us the Bible and biblical truths. But I just think that when he went wrong, it's all about Christian submission. It's very different. It doesn't say, husbands, dominate your wives. Of course, whether you're female, male or female, children, parents, and we're Christians, we all have to submit ourselves to Christ if we are to be Christians. The first one we have to submit to is Christ. Ephesians 5:21 says that we should submit to each other. This should be driven, but not in fear, but in reverence to Christ. When a wife submits to a husband, it doesn't mean that she's inferior, doesn't mean that she's superior either, or that she should suffer repression. You see, if a husband is loving his wife the same way as Christ loves the church, as it says in Ephesians 5:25, don't forget that Jesus gave his life for the church. He loved them, the church, so much he gave his wife. He gave himself. Submission is far easier when we all act and behave as people of the living God. And parents, who knows, if you act and behave that way, you might have a slight chance of your kids. But children are very important too to the Lord. And if children obey their parents, who are Christians, are given wise teaching, then it's pleasing if children submit to their parents. You see, the thing is about submission. Just remember that Christ submitted to John the Baptist to be baptized, to the authorities of this world, and ended up with him being crucified. And he also submitted to his Father's will. This is how the Christian life works. Submission works. Perhaps in our society today also, as I move on to verses 22 to 25, I shall read that. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Perhaps this, although we don't have slaves and masters and all that kind of thing in our society today, but at least in this society here in England or Britain, perhaps this can be interpreted as workers and bosses. During my working life, you won't be surprised, I had many bosses, both good and bad. But the passage before us says that we should work just as hard, no matter what their characters are, whether they're good bosses or bad bosses. And we should work just as hard because we have a bigger boss. We have a bigger boss in Christ. It's challenging, that is, because I remember there were times when I just wanted to walk away and I wanted to sneak out the back, or I wanted to skive, because at the end of the day, I felt that we were being badly led. But that doesn't matter if you're a Christian. You should work just as hard. That's really tough. Ask God for help in these matters. What you're really doing, of course, is working for our ultimate boss, God our Father. So in reality, from a Christian point of view, we should work wholeheartedly for the Lord. Well, of course, it doesn't stop there. It also has a passage for bosses, masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. That's chapter 4, verse 1. The best bosses I ever had were the ones that were trying to be fair. Not necessarily someone who favoured me, because that causes unrest and trouble. But one's trying to be fair, even if you might not like what they're asking you to do. If you understand that they're doing it in a fair way and they're asking others to do exactly the same, I don't think you can go much wrong with it, with that. And just then there wouldn't be, obviously, amongst Christian bosses, this is talking to, if they're acting, behaving like that, there wouldn't be that much to complain about if they're acting fairly. And remember also that Christian bosses, they have the same boss as we do. So bear that in mind as we serve our bosses. Not all bosses are Christians, I know and understand that. But once again, it comes down that our boss is God, and we're working for him. And it says not just to get by, but wholeheartedly, really tough. It also says that anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. I think that verse is there to remind us that all injustices will be repaid and addressed by our God, whether it's in this life or the next one. I've heard many people turning around and saying stuff about people that they were pretty horrible, and they lived their lives, their full lives, and died, and they got away with it all their life. No, they didn't. They have to stand in front at the judgment seat of Christ. We all do. So what about anyone like me? There is a category there that's not really addressed, isn't there? Not single people. I'm a single person. I don't have any boss anymore. I do have a boss down at the paper shop, I guess. But I've retired from work. I don't have a boss. And also, I don't have a wife. I don't have kids. Doesn't apply to me. I can just walk away from this. And that's sort of for the rest of them. Oh, when I'm preaching to them, not to me. Actually, I would emphatically say that it applies to me and to single people just as much. All of it applies, all of that I've read out. John 19, verses 25 to 27. Jesus was on the cross and he was being crucified. And the disciple that Jesus loved in this passage is John himself. That's what biblical scholars understand, and I believe that it is John himself, the disciple. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So you can see how he's transformed the Christian disciples as being members of family, being brothers and sisters. John at the cross submitted to Jesus when he took her home. So did Mary when she went home, and Mary to John. So it is here too, in our church at Christ Church Hill, submitting ourselves to one another. Do you know what? I'd love the opportunity while I'm standing up here to say thank you to each and every one of you here for your role in all you play in the body of Christ here in Yule. We are all dearly loved by Christ. I know that things are not easy sometimes, but can I encourage you to keep going through the tough times as well as the good? Help us to encourage each other, because we are all valued by Christ. And also, if your contribution you think is a bit small, I don't really do that much, remember what Jesus did with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He fed 5,000. Never think that your contribution is too small, no matter what it is. Bless you, whether you're our pastor, whether you're a church leader, whether you make the coffee, welcome people, lead growth groups, prayer groups, work with youth, children, work in legal matters as well, and our finances. Thank you all. Whatever you do, do it submissively also to Jesus. He's involved you in building the church here and worldwide. Doesn't stop there either, because we are all a mighty army under the headship of Christ. We're all moving forward. Remember, get those blockages out of the way and go forward. Father, indeed, make us one, Lord, in your body. Please help us to encourage each one as we looked to you as our prime example. Help us, Lord, to grow. Help us, Lord, to bless this church, and as you would want it blessed, and you bless it yourself. Help us all to be one in motive and in power and wisdom that only comes from you. We do want to pray, Lord, that as we move into this next week, that you'll bless this week in front of us, whether people are facing hard challenges or whether people are doing something that they really like, whatever the situation or circumstances. May we do all of those things to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.